Good morning. It's Friday, December 19th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Coming up, Torin Anderson visits with an artist who's creating quilts and textiles, even though she's losing her eyesight. That's after the news. Strong winds swept across Kansas yesterday, causing several fast-moving wildfires and forcing road closures, KMUW's Daniel Caudill reports.
High winds and blowing dust closed portions of Interstate 70 between Goodland and Colby. Meanwhile, a large grass fire prompted an evacuation of portions of Reno County. The Bueller School District north of Hutchinson also evacuated Plum Creek Elementary. Many western Kansas counties issued red flag warnings because the high winds and dry conditions mean fire danger. Motorists are advised to delay non-essential travel until conditions improve. Updates on road conditions can be found at candrive.gov. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Caudill.
Safety changes made after the crash of a Wichita-based jet and a military helicopter in Washington, D.C. may soon become law. KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish reports.
After the January 29th crash, the Federal Aviation Administration reduced D.C. air traffic and required military helicopters to broadcast their location. Those protections were undone when the Senate passed the National Defense Authorization Act. Senators Jerry Moran, Ted Cruz, and Maria Cantwell say they have a plan to get those processes back. Moran says his colleagues negotiated with the White House, Department of Defense, and Senate leadership to fast-track the Rotor Act.
Over the last year, Congress has passed significant legislation investing in that airspace to increase the safety and to make sure that all who fly can be and are safe. Now is not the time to take any steps backwards.
The Rotor Act is now headed to the House for a vote. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
Contract negotiations between Boeing and a union representing 1,500 white-collar workers in Wichita are on pause. The Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace began talks with the company on December 9th, a day after Boeing purchased Spirit AeroSystems. The union is seeking member pay, health benefits, and bonuses that match other Boeing employees. It's also asking for increases to time off and retirement contributions. Union spokesperson Brian Corliss says negotiations stopped at Boeing's request Wednesday and will not start up again until January 5th.
I mean, if Boeing comes to the table prepared on the 5th, there's really no reason that we can foresee that precludes us from reaching an agreement by the end of the month.
The union's current six-year contract expires on January 31st. A Boeing spokesperson says the company is taking the time, quote, to be thoughtful in the negotiations following the Spirit sale. A Kansas tribe has ended its involvement in a federal contract to design immigration detention centers. A leader of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation says a company the tribe owns has fully divested from a contract with federal immigration enforcement. In a video, Tribal Council Chairman Joseph Ezek Rupnik says leaders will meet in January to discuss how to prevent similar issues moving forward.
Tribal Council plans to further address the steps we will take to ensure that our nation's economic interests do not come into conflict with our values in the future.
Earlier this month, the tribe fired senior leaders of the business for entering the $30 million deal. Upcoming Medicaid cuts could affect in-home care for elderly and disabled Kansans. Funding for home and community-based services are listed as an optional waiver for the state to offer under Medicaid. Sherry Coatney is with Southeast Kansas Independent Living. Coatney says the funding loss would hurt the region's disabled community.
And so they are left with a tough decision whether they actually go to an institution or find a way to rely on other people somehow or just choose to stay in their own home and chance the fact that they might die.
Roughly 13,000 Kansans are expected to lose their Medicaid benefits starting next year, according to Reach Healthcare Foundation. Wichita native Bill Koch plans to sell pieces from his American West art collection next month. Christie's says it will sell items from Koch's collection on January 21st at its New York location. The auction will include pieces by Frederick Remington and Charles Marion Russell. Koch is a lifelong collector of art. He grew up in Wichita and spent time in his youth at the family ranch in Montana. The Associated Press reports the sale is expected to bring in at least $50 million. Governor Laura Kelly has announced the first director of the Kansas Office of Early Childhood. Christy Smith will lead the new agency when it launches July 1st. She has more than two decades of work in the field, most recently as executive director of Child Care Aware of Kansas. Programs spread across several state agencies will be consolidated into the Office of Early Childhood. Its duties will include licensing child care facilities, distributing child care assistance funds, and overseeing home visitation programs. The agency was created during the 2025 legislative session. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMUW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
This week on Marginalia, we speak with Virginia Evans about her book that people can't stop talking about, The Correspondent.
What I wanted to do was tell the story of someone's life in a way that felt true, but also hopeful.
Saturday morning at 11:30 on 89.1 KMUW.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Fletcher Powell. Wichita artist Lindsay Lord is losing her eyesight, but is still creating art with quilts and textiles. Torin Anderson talked with Lord at the Fish House about her current exhibition and an upcoming event.
I am really sad that I can't see the stars anymore, but I do feel them. That is true. I'm not being poetic. I really feel that.
This work is dedicated to the stars, which I can no longer see, but which I can feel, is Lindsay Lord's dedication under her show title, An Infinite Container. She is losing her sight, but not her vision.
I have retinitis pigmentosa. It is something I was born with. It runs in my family. It affects my peripheral vision and night vision. So I have very strong central vision, but it is very restricted to the point that I am legally blind.
Lord's mother studied early childhood development and noticed how advanced Lindsay's drawings were from a very early age.
I guess around the age when children are not even putting fingers on their drawings, I was putting things like cleavage and like double chins and just noticing details and drawing them that were advanced.
Lord says she was obsessed with drawing. That focus still translates.
I still hyper-focus for long periods of time, and I'm very concerned with detail and complexity. The activity itself has changed, but the way that I'm spending time isn't that different.
The materials are different, though, and that helps Lord weave new expressions.
Quilts and textile work is like really inviting to the viewer. We have like a rapport, our bodies have a rapport with textiles. We're wearing clothes, we're always touching something soft. Like people just want to touch, they just want to touch the work. And nobody ever wants to touch your drawing or your painting.
A quilt can imply comfort, something this exhibition is not all about.
Part of this is about catastrophe and like moments of devastation, and also about like how to get through that. And yes, it's about my diagnosis. It's also about just the moment that we're in the world.
Much of this exhibition literally reads as poetry. Lord explores ecstasy and misery in one statement.
I love Khalil Gibran. He wrote The Prophet. It's this book from the 1920s. It's like a narrative poem. And one of the lines, there's a chapter about sorrow and joy. And there's a line where he says, the deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. And I really feel that. So it's both. It's like the container of grief is also where you hold joy and hope, if you choose to.
Lord looks to community to find joy. She is hosting an artist talk on Solstice, December 21st at the Fish House, and asks people to stick around and wiggle with her.
At the Earthworm Dance Party, we're going to do this collective spell where we channel the energy of earthworms and have a great time wiggling around, just feeling good and dancing and basically building community and relationship that way.
And sometimes the critical work of making the world a better place is best executed with friends, having fun.
You know, sometimes the best things we can do to make the world better is really like get together and have a great time and see that as really crucial. It's not light. It's not unimportant. It's like radical work.
For KMUW Arts, I'm Torin Anderson.
Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again on Monday. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
This week on You're Saying It Wrong.
It literally is basically a board or a leather apron in front of a carriage, and it was used to stop mud from splashing.
We're talking about words we use anachronistically. Anacronyms. That's this week on You're Saying It Wrong from KMUW Studios.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.